Hey, what's up, guys? It's Will with American Horror Enduro. I'm here with Drew Kirby. What's going on, Drew?
We're driving.
Where are we?
Iowa. We're looking at the Mississippi River, and it's the Iowa-Illinois line in the middle of the Mississippi River. It's actually beautiful. We're in corn country. We're just leaving the Iowa Hard Enduro.
How windy has it been this whole weekend?
Windier than I think I've ever experienced. Yesterday, no one put easy ups out. It was just, I mean, the Mississippi is white capping.
It's
it looks like
right now.
Rougher than the, what bay is that?
Gulf of Mexico.
Gulf of Mexico, thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, we've started the 10 and a half hour drive home.
Yeah, we are within 10 hours of home now.
Yeah, 4:48 a.m. arrival. Hopefully that's time adjusted for Eastern.
I don't think it is.
Okay, anyway, let's not talk about that. What are we going to talk about, Will?
Why don't we talk about what we did this weekend, Drew?
Well, we drove to Iowa on Friday. We walked some course on Friday afternoon when we got here, and then we spent all day Saturday. There was no racing on Saturday, but we paid $10 to ride.
There wasn't a lot of riding either.
Well, and to their credit, they used every available
inch
piece of land for trail. And so we found a few places to play, got a feel of the terrain. It was super dry. They said it hadn't rained in, a couple months?
No, I think it rained, last week, but it...
Oh, really?
It's so windy, it just dries it all out.
Yeah, it was super hard packed. Traction was better than I thought it'd be, and there was a little moisture in the woods. But it was just a weird... super loamy, and then as soon as you dug through and hit a rock, it was like loop out city.
Well, in talking to Colton Haker, he made a good point. He said that it felt like two different race courses, because he said that the one side, for anybody who was there or not there, the right side, right after the start, you kind of ran a ridge line, and then you kind of ran through a cornfield, and then you ran another ridge line back that was kind of at a different angle. So he thought that one of those was kind of north facing and might have gotten more shade. And he's like, it was definitely a different moisture content in the soil.
Well, so basically, I've never seen rock formations. According to someone I talked to from Iowa, these are the only rocks in Iowa. And it looks
except for northwestern Iowa near Wisconsin.
Okay. But it looked like hobbit land. I was waiting for a small little hobbit to run out and knock me off my bike, which is probably what happened a couple times.
Yeah, that must have been what happened to
me. Yeah, that was it. Short legs and a hobbit got me. So we spent Saturday goofing off, riding around, walking some trail. And the general consensus among the guys, top pros, was it wasn't going to be that hard.
Well, and it would have been really hard had it been wet and rainy, but the traction was unbelievable. It was Velcro.
It was, and we were fortunate. If it had been wet, I don't know if anyone would have made a lap at Moto 2.
Yeah.
Maybe Moto 1.
We know a few guys that would have.
Well, this guy would not.
Yeah, nor would I have.
Yeah, a lot of short, quick uphills, zigzaggy, super steep and technical, and favored a lot of trial skills is kind of what I'm going to attribute my success to, maybe.
Because you're a trials rider?
I've spent some time on one, but I'm not going to sell. I haven't worn the tight pants yet. So, what, that was Friday?
That was Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday.
That was Saturday. And really, Drew and I went out riding, and to be honest with you, we didn't find that much good stuff. Yeah. I mean, we couldn't. I guess we're not creative enough.
They'd used up all the stuff, and there was a lot of, vegetation, low vegetation, so you almost had to just, kind of boondog through it and make stuff.
But then...
But then...
The big boys started making their sections, and so there was this awesome switchback.
What did you have to do to get up the switchback?
Pivot turn.
You had to do pivot turn.
Yeah, so it was a double pivot turn, super steep, and we watched Taylor and Colton and Cody
Will
Riordan and Ryder, and they were just making it look really, really easy.
We didn't want to get in the way, because you know how it is. When they're sessioning something, we'll just be in the way. So we waited until they got done, and we went back over there.
Where they were just blowing up, making it look easy, was not easy.
No, it wasn't. So, just shows you how the skill level. And so later in the day, I think Ryder comes back, and he's like, hey, they're putting in some new stuff over there. Because, again, the consensus was it's not going to be hard enough. So Josh Shecker and the Iowan guys were like, all right, let's step it up. And, dude, they made some stuff for the Moto 2 Sunday, the all-blue course, that was pretty next level.
And for those that don't know Josh Shecker, he was Colton Haker's mechanic for, the last 10 years?
Forever.
No, probably not that long. Maybe 5 years.
Yep.
So they've traveled the world. He's been to pretty much every hard enduro you can imagine, and now he is the course director.
Course director
for AMA Extreme.
Yep. So he went out there and he busted it all day. We were trying to wait for him to eat dinner, and he was like, "You guys eat, make some chicken," because we were hanging out with him, and he was like, "I'll be back at dark." And dude, he rolled in about dark.
Right at dark.
And they added great additions to the course for that second race on
some
Friday.
Stuff that visually looked scary and impossible.
It was.
Yeah.
For me, well, for my level.
For the top guys, obviously, they're on a different plane than anybody else.
Yeah. So I guess let's go format.
Format started out with a hot lap.
Hold on. We got to back up. I get it out of myself.
Sorry.
Saturday, you could pay $10 a ride.
Oh, yeah. The Enduro Grunt.
So then they had a little, of course, the finish line was going to be, according to the promoter, Dan. He was like, "Man, it's going to be boring. So we know you guys don't like man-made stuff, but we needed something to entertain people." So they built an Enduro Cross track, some rocks.
And someone, I don't know who it was, they said, "This is not Enduro Cross. This is an obstacle course."
Yeah. So it was basically, it was creative. Logs.
Tires.
A few rock pile.
A big ramp.
Tires. A big ramp to get over the log. So they had a little...
Ooh, we're passing a brewery.
Oh,
that's
man.
So tempting.
We cannot stop there. We will not make it home by the scheduled time. Anyway, so if you paid the $10 to ride, you were entered. And there wasn't like a loudspeaker. So at 3 o'clock,
They gave away $200 to the winner.
No, to the pro winner.
To the pro winner.
And then a set of gear to, I think, the
every
A
class.
Winner and the pro women. I don't think any women did it, though.
I thought Shelby did it.
No, Shelby didn't do it.
Okay.
So anyway, Cooper Abbott, out of nowhere, because JoJo Tool and I were talking, and he's like, "Dude, $200 buys a lot of gas." He's like, "There's only 3 other people signed up." So
yeah,
he signed
pretty
up.
Good chance.
Yeah.
Then he drew Cooper.
So then, little unbeknownst to him, I think Cooper Abbott was like, $200 buys a lot of gas.
Right.
So
from Arizona, you need it.
Yeah, so Cooper put on a demonstration. Like the amateur guys, dude, they...
It was funny.
It was struggle. And so Cooper ended
they
up...
They had a lot of heart.
So Cooper won. So that was Saturday afternoon. Some entertainment from 3 to 4.
Then more riding.
And more walking some of this gnarly stuff. And so orange arrows were the hot lap.
Yep.
Blue arrows with pink on them was Moto 1 and the orange. And then Moto 2 on Sunday was all blue arrows. So we walked some of the orange, which was the hot lap, and then we'd find a blue or a pink and we'd walk it. Well, unbeknownst to us, I don't know if you feel this way, it's how I feel, I was thinking that orange hot lap was going to be nothing.
Yeah, I kind of was thinking we didn't need to really walk it, but golly, I wish we'd have walked that back
so
creek.
So the way it works, there's like patches of rocks and trees and then cornfields everywhere. So you would come out of like a section of up and down, cut around the cornfield, drop back into another section, and like there's like what, four or five sections? Yeah, I'm good. 4 or 5 sections. So we did the first one, cut across the cornfield, and then we dropped into one of the hardest sections. It was like the second big
section.
We
didn't walk any of that second major section.
No. And so I come down the hill and see a danger sign.
Just a couple X's.
You go left or straight, and there was like a creek, and I pulled up to it thinking I could roll off of it.
So what road did you start on? We started on the same road together.
5. No, 7. 6?
6.
7. Yeah, so thank you to Dan. They had, last year the pros were kind of mixed in with everyone, and we were going to be on row 17, and holy cow, if we were on row 17, it would have added 10 to 15 minutes to our time. I mean, there was even pros, and I was one of them who was stuck in bottlenecking, so... So back to walking or not walking. So we're in the hot lap coming down this hill. There's this creek, and apparently I found out afterwards, Cody and the top guys.
Oh, I've got video of them all jumping in.
Okay, because Cody lapped me there in the main event, and I really just wanted to see him do it so I could be like, holy cow. So long story short, I did a U-turn, went around, and then after that, you had to cross a log, go up the weirdest like angled rock.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big flat rock on a 45-degree angle.
Yep.
Then a hole and another 45-degree rock.
You had to cross a log before all that.
And before all that. And so I made it up the first one and then realized how big the hole was and fell in the hole, fell over, got up. So that was obstacle number one that I didn't know. What about you? What'd you do when you got there?
I went all the way around to the right.
Okay.
And then kind of tried to side hill up that rock and just had no confidence and like the tire didn't fail. I failed and just So I sank back down into the position you were probably in and had to bulldog it up a little bit.
I kind of sent it over the log and over the first rock, and then I found that hole and fell over in the hole. Then my foot peg got caught on a root. There's nothing worse than trying to pick your bike up.
Yeah.
So I got it up. Luckily, I hit the second one at like a 45-degree angle and made it.
Well, and then not long after that...
Oh, so two up and downs later. Yeah. I counted them today.
Not very far. Mm. Maybe, I don't know, a couple minutes. Coming down a hill, and there were a couple X's, and I see a course worker, I don't know, 50 feet over to the right. He's just kind of got his hands behind his back. And all of a sudden, I see a big drop. And I'm like, all right, get ready to pin it, or, you know, give it a little throttle to go off this drop. And
it was a big drop.
The landing was steep.
Steep downhill.
And the drop was, it felt like 6 feet or more. And so I pushed out big time.
So what did you do upon...
I grabbed a tree to the right because I knew I couldn't get stopped. Like, it was slick.
Yeah.
And let the bike go over the freaking, you know, the drop. And, of course, the bike went cartwheeling down the hill afterwards. And so when I got to it, my front end was twisted. My brush guards were twisted. So I'm beating and banging trying to fix that. But
so I got there. Luckily, there was a guy in a position sideways that you sent off of. And Zach Cleland was over to the right, and I was like, well, I'm not going Zach's way. And then that guy that was on the ledge just drops his bike off and the bike disappears. So I'm like, definitely not going that way.
Right.
So I bulldogged it over towards
the
where
right,
Zach attacked.
The right was the ticket.
Yeah. And after that race, it was a burn-in hotline. I wrote it down every time.
Yeah. And the second race, I went to the right, and it was no problem. It was no slower. It was just safe.
Oh, yeah.
And left was not safe.
Yeah, so after that, the hot lap was pretty uneventful for me, I think. There was
I made some
elevated log in the hot lap.
Elevated log, I had a little trouble there.
Yeah, it was 3/4 the way around, I would say, roughly.
This log was probably 2 foot in diameter, and it was 2 feet off the ground. So the top of the log was close to 36 to 48 inches.
It was waist high for me, and I... That's not saying much.
Well, yeah. Okay, so maybe it was only 2 feet tall.
Easy. All right, so I skid plated it and hoped for the best and did not go over the bars.
I skid plated it and did not get over it and just had to muscle it over. Just like an idiot. The second race I did much better. We'll get to that.
Okay, so then after that, some more zigzags and then down a hill and around the world's fastest.
Yeah, it was a desert race in
through
a
cornfield. Yeah, you basically went a quarter mile, turned right, went an eighth of a mile, turned left, went a half a mile into sand.
Yeah, and it was sugar sand, super sketch.
And then back around to the enduro cross track, which this year was at the end of the lap, not the beginning of the lap.
Yeah, and we ran it in the opposite direction that they'd run it the previous day. So I thought it was much easier than it looked when they were racing it.
Yes, yeah, it was. And I think we watched a bunch of the amateurs. And I rode through it my last lap. The last time I went through it, that Will filmed it, was my worst time, of course. I might have been tired.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the start of the hot lap. So it was, we started rows of five, 1 minute apart, national enduro or enduro style. You turn left, turn right, cross the creek, and you were supposed to turn right and go over, what, a 36-inch diameter log that was as wide as a four-wheeler trail or maybe a razor trail. And so nothing was ribboned or... It was arrowed, but it wasn't ribbon. And so I'm like, I'm going around this thing. I don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
So I was second. The guy in first went straight across the creek and never turned right, which was kind of my plan. But then he did that. So I'm like, well, I'm second. I'm going to go over the log. As I'm going over the log, my alternate plan was to just go around the log. I went over the log. Two other people went around the log and passed me. So my sneaky line backfired.
I followed the guy that went to the right. To the left.
Okay.
So, I'm having problems with my confidence going into a corner with off a starting line. I just can't. I'm not aggressive enough right now. I don't know if I'm just getting older or what, but
I need
to do something about it.
I will say, I didn't look at my actual speed, but I don't think I got above 52 miles an hour. And Jackson Davis said he did 72, so he's 18. I'm 40.
That's fast.
Dude.
I think Taylor Roberts said there's no way he did 72.
Yeah, he said he was doing 71 at the works race. I don't know. We'll see if he can prove it. I was scared to look at the odometer.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, it had been a wet field and their four-wheeler ruts. And
wet?
It had been wet. And so it was,
yes,
had ruts.
Yes, there were ruts. And then that sugar sand.
And they were
just
hard
dispersed
as a rock now. Yeah. So Hot lap, I think I ended up, I don't know, 22nd, 23rd?
I think I was 28th-ish.
Yeah. So that put me on, they reshuffled everything for the Moto 1 race. So that put me on row 5, which you were right behind me, right?
It was row 6, it was a row behind you.
Yep.
Oh, God, I don't even want to talk about this race.
I don't remember what happened. I think I got the whole shot. I got the whole shot, and then I was doing well. And we came, like, off the start, went up, horseshoe came down. In the previous race, orange, we went left. We needed to go right. And I was in my head going left, and I tucked the front in and went down.
Yes.
Going right. So I got behind, like, 3 people there.
Like, I started, once again, my traditional last place start off, you know.
I got the whole shot.
Well, I was in 5th.
Okay.
And I think I made a couple moves. And then everybody was lost for a second. There was, I don't know. I think it was marked well, but we were used to the previous race. So everybody blew by the trail. We all turned back around, and I was in such a hurry because I went from being last on my row to first in my row, and then I missed the trail again.
Sorry, that's funny.
Yeah, I went last to first to last immediately.
Yeah.
We dropped off down this hill, and then where there was this off camber line to the left, off over this big old rock, you had to skid plate and get real sketchy, or you could drop down around this tree.
Yeah. And when I got there on the hot lap and race 1, there was the dude, the worker was pointing me over the rock. And the first time I said, no way, and I went low. The second time I was like, there's somebody low, so I went high and survived.
The first time I went low and it was no problem.
Yep.
The second time, there was somebody.
There was 200 people ran it through, made some holes.
Yeah, 200 people later. But anyways, somebody was hung up, high-centered on the high line, so I was like, all right, gotta go low. Went low, got a good drive out of there, then kind of got hung up, then just caught a ton of traction with throttle, and my bike looped out, landed handlebar seat, like totally upside down.
Like you'd work on a bicycle.
Yeah, so of course, I'm not strong enough to just pick it up and over, so I had to flip it over, and then when I flipped it over, it flipped up over a rock on the side of the trail. Could not get turned around to save my life. Apparently, Shelby Turner saw it all happen.
Yep.
She was telling me later. She was like, oh, you were the guy that looped it out.
Yeah, you were talking about it.
But anyways, I know the next 2 rows got by me before I could get going, and I was already sitting in 30th, so you need to be top 30 in advance. So I kind of overcooked it trying to make up time.
Well, and so let's talk about, back to the hot lap. Let's say who won the hot lap first.
Ryder LeBlanc smoked the hot lap.
Yeah, he started on row 1.
He did, and I think he won by over 30 seconds.
Yeah, so he had a good hot lap. Tristan threw a chain. He was 6th or 7th? 9th? Okay.
He said 9th.
Okay, I knew he was 2nd row.
Cody was like 4th.
Yeah, maybe. I know Taylor was 2nd, maybe. Colton
was 3rd.
Yeah, so that's a hot lap result. So now,
and then Nick Farringer and Quinn Wenzel and all the usual guys. Yeah.
And Pat Smodge actually was 5th in the hot lap. He got on the
Cooper
first
Abbott
row.
Abbott was right there.
Yeah, he was 2nd row.
Okay.
And we'll go over all the results for the final race or overall in a minute. Or
yeah,
we'll get done rambling. Because
the hot lap
we got a while.
The hot lap didn't count in the moto scoring.
Yep. All I did was reset the field.
And then the second race was going to be what, 2 hours?
Yep. So that's what I was going to say. So they reset the field and let the pros in front of ABC and women. Well, I went to Dan and I said, thank you. I was like, there would have been a lot of bottlenecks if you didn't do that. He said, well, you're welcome. And we've decided to make a change for Moto 1. It was supposed to be 2 hours, as many laps as you could do in 2 hours, I think, or maybe just 2 laps. Well, he said, we're worried about bottlenecks, so basically you're going to run 1 lap. And it was another hot lap with added in blue and pink section.
My watch said the first race was, I believe, 5.69 miles.
Okay.
The second race.
The hot lap.
The second race ended up being 6.5 miles or something like that.
Yeah, I think my bike had about 6 something on it. And it was, for me, it worked better because I'm more of a sprinter and I work out for like 30 minutes to an hour, so that was perfect for me.
And for me, it takes me 5 miles to get comfortable on a course.
Yeah.
And I really do much better in 3-hour races than I do in 30-minute races. So it hurt me.
And we talked to some guys who were bummed because they're like, I mean, only 30 made it to Moto 2. So there was, okay, 30 minus 200, 200 minus 30, 170 people who drove anywhere from 2 hours to 25 hours.
The joke was this place is 12 hours from everywhere.
Yeah. But they drove that, who knows how far to ride,
11 miles.
And, you know, anywhere from an hour to 3 hours.
And I was pretty bummed after the second race. I think I ended up 35th.
Yeah. I ended up 20th. After the first race.
But I made the most of it. I had a good time chasing the leaders around and got some really good footage for everybody. Yep. It's, now that we have cell phone service, I can upload
some.
We'll
start making some posts. But so I actually enjoyed that Moto 1, much better than the Hot Lap because the sketchy situations and areas.
Even though I had a terrible moment, enjoyed it more.
Yeah, and a lot of the blue-pink lines weren't just like, holy cow, how can I do this?
They were challenging, but the traction was amazing.
And backing up to the riders' meeting, Dan, the head guy, Dan Meyer, said there's going to be a lot of guys who don't make a lap in the hot lap. They don't make a complete lap in the 2 hours. And I was like, no way. Like, what we walked, no way. And then I was riding it going, holy cow. It was not a Midwestern hair scramble style course.
No, for the C and even some of the B guys, I'm sure that was a pretty tough hot lap.
Yeah, I mean, if I pull up, I mean, I'm not saying I'm that great, but when we pull up to some of that stuff and think, how are we going to get down this? Like,
yeah,
you know, so... but even if they didn't make a complete lap in the hot lap, they basically got moved on to everyone went to Moto 1.
So what happened on row 1 of Moto 2?
So let's see.
Ryder LeBlanc.
Oh, so I was on row 4, and Ryder got a great start.
You were on 5, I was on 6.
Not for the Moto 2 race.
Oh, I'm talking about Moto 1.
Oh, was it Moto 1 when that happened?
Yes.
Oh, yes, it was. Yeah. So anyway, I was back there. Ryder gets the whole shot. He's gone. They again, cross the water, turn right, go over the log. Well, all of a sudden, I see Colton and the other three guys going up the hill. And no Ryder. I'm like, dude, he has a big lead. I didn't even see him. Well, all of a sudden, I see people running towards the log.
Yeah, I saw Shelly DeLula, like...
Of DRT Racing, Husqvarna.
I saw that Ryder got the whole shot, you know, down in the hill. And then, of course, I'm adjusting my Camelback or something, you know. And I look back up, and I just see Shelly in a dead sprint. I'm like, ooh, that's not good.
And so I see Ryder pop up. He immediately starts kicking his front tire. So, you know, we don't think anything about it. And then we hear he ended up 6th in Moto 1. And we've got video. I'm sure it'll come out somewhere.
I'll throw it on the story right now after this.
Ryder was doing this sweet little splatter, hit a rock, wheel tap the log, and just roll.
Yeah.
He was in second gear and somehow hit neutral and ended up going over the bars. He hit and just...
His helmet and chest was on the front fender for a good 10 yards, just like before he yard sailed.
Yeah. So, and then obviously everyone in his row got around him. He got going. I think he caught back up, but it
that throws you off. Yeah. He's having to get body slammed out of the start.
He got 6th. Tristan was actually on row 2 for that race. He ended up winning. Cody got 4th, and Will and I were talking about it. We meant to ask Cody what happened. We don't know how.
And I didn't get an interview.
Was that the throttle sticking?
No, that was the final. It was Moto 2.
Okay. Again, so Moto scoring, that really hurt Ryder getting 6th in the first race, right? Because he it eliminated him almost from podium.
So, I think, did Taylor get 2nd? Yeah. So, Tristan won. Taylor got 2nd. Colton got 3rd.
Yeah, Colton, you interviewed. We got an interview with Colton, Taylor, and Tristan.
Well, and we'll do...
Colton went 3-3-3.
Why don't we just play the Taylor Robert interview right now? Since I interviewed him after the second moto, so
okay.
Here's Taylor Robert. What's up, guys? I'm here with Taylor Robert at the Iowan Hard Enduro. We're two motos into this race, about to start the final. How's it going, Taylor?
It's going good. You know, the tracks... I'll fully admit it's not as hard as the last one, but it's still fun. You know, it's faster, but when I say faster, I mean it's like mostly second gear stuff. So it's been fun. They did a good job making some course changes, trying to make it a little bit more difficult and progressively getting harder throughout the day. I got 2nd in the hot lap behind Ryder LeBlanc, and then ended up second in the first race behind my teammate Tristan Hart. So, yeah, it's going good today.
Did you see Ryder go over the bars at the start of the second moto?
I did see Ryder go over the bars. It was pretty brutal. I mean, it was super dusty, but at the same time, I saw exactly what happened. You know, he tried to bunny hop that log, tagged it, and it just looked like it sent him straight to his head.
Yeah, we have the video if you want to see it later.
I do want to see the video.
Yeah, we will show him that right now.
Okay, so the traction out here is like premium. Have you ever experienced this much traction?
Well, I live in Arizona, and when it rains there once a year, we get really good traction.
Yeah.
But, no, it is. It's good, but honestly, there's all the stuff that's being ridden in is getting really slippery. I'm sure it's some of those rocks that are polished
and
now.
Your roots.
Yeah. So it's, like, weird. You go from really good traction to, like, oh, boy, where's this thing going?
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, that's part of the challenge, right, is it's a little unpredictable.
Absolutely. So this year, you've kind of – you're doing a lot. I mean, you're doing the work stuff. You're doing the hard enduro stuff. How's the transition? Are you enjoying all the hard enduro?
Yeah, I'm having a blast, honestly. You know, I've done works races for the majority of my life and just wanted to do something a little bit different. You know, I really enjoy hard enduro style riding and just going out with my buddies. You know, usually it's Max and I just going out and exploring, and that's one of my favorite types of riding. So I wanted to come give it a whirl, and you know, I've done a few in the past, TKO and Last Dog Standing, stuff like that. So I've dabbled with it in the past, but I'm glad to be here and just doing something different, you know, something challenging and something to keep me motivated.
Okay, so the first two races were kind of hot laps, two hot laps basically.
Yeah, we can go with that.
What is the strategy for this three lap? I mean, this can be pretty tough coming up. It's hot out here. I mean, conditions are deteriorating. So what's the strategy?
Really, the strategy here is you just got to stay with the front group of guys for as long as you can.
Not make mistakes.
Yeah, because the difficulty isn't as high as, say, Rev Limiter, where there's, like, a lot of separators out there. You know, you mess up a hill, the guy's gone, you know. Now, like, we're all kind of riding in packs, so you got to stay with that front pack. And then what comes down to the last lap, that's when you kind of got to play strategy and make some moves, put yourself in a good position for, you know, really coming in through this grass track. If it comes down to that, you know, battling, that's kind of what I did on the second race. Is I was, like, 10 seconds behind Colton, but I know that I'm good in the grass track, so I sucked that gap up, and then we came into this enduro cross section side by side.
Nice. Well, in that grass track, what was your top speed? Any idea?
I don't know. I can check for you guys in a little bit.
All right, that'd be interesting.
I know Jackson Davis hit 72 miles an hour trying to catch me, and I'm like, I was cruising at maybe 45 or 50. And I honestly thought after your King of Motos crash, like a few years ago, I'm like, I'm not going to eat
72 on a hard enduro bike is sketch.
Yeah, I don't even know if I was doing 72 because my max speed at the last works race was like 71, and I don't feel like I was going as fast out there.
I want no part of that.
Yep.
All right, well, good luck this final moto. Hopefully we'll be interviewing you for a podium spot here soon.
I'd like that as well.
All right, good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
That was Taylor. He had a great second moto, moving in the finals. So,
well, and like he talked about, you know, he struggled some in Texas, and traction was great here, a little more flowy, a little high speed, and he said he enjoyed it.
Yeah, he looked like he was having a good time out there.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, we've never met Taylor until this year. He's done TKO in the past, but we've never really talked to him. Super nice guy. Glad to have him around.
Heck yeah, he's like probably one of the best motorcycle riders on the planet right now, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. So, so that pretty much wraps up Moto One. Would you agree?
Yeah, the hot lap Moto One. Yeah. So moving into the finals, all blue arrows for all the all difficult section.
Well, and I will say, so in Moto One for me, like JoJo Tool, two other guys were in front of me, and a ribbon got blown down, or someone ran it over, and they ended up going off into a blue section where Josh's log. You didn't do Josh's log. Holy cow, it was horrible. So they did all of that, and I looped around and saw them, and I knew I wasn't supposed to go that way. And I told one of the course workers, so I ended up 20th. I probably should have been like 23rd. Who knows how the rest would have gone? But
yeah,
you know, they made it in top 30, so they still got into the finals or to the Moto 2. Excuse me.
So you're like, let those guys have fun down there, but.
Well, no, I didn't know. I mean, at this point, there's nothing I can do.
Right.
Anyways, I told a course worker. I thought I did my part. And if we got done, I talked to JoJo about it. He's like, what do you think we can do? I'm like, He's like at a minute back. I was like, I don't know how long the section was. So to those guys, I hate it. But in, I don't know if they talked to the riders. Maybe you heard it. Like, we just knew from helping Josh out some that orange was hot lap, pink and blue was lap Moto 1, and all blue was only Moto 3 or Moto 2.
Golly, look how fast that windmill's spinning.
Dude, that thing's moving. So, yeah, it's windy. Hopefully the wind noise isn't too bad.
Yeah, we're in the van. We're rolling. What are we? 80?
I'm only going 75. I haven't tuned it up because we're talking.
Okay.
So, all right, so let's talk Moto 2.
Moto, the final.
Yeah, but, well, no, technically it's not the final because it's Moto scoring between 1 and 2. So the final race.
Okay, the final race, and they went ahead and said it was going to be 3 laps. And then for anybody after the leader, which is obviously most people, you get 30 more minutes.
I wonder if I finished within that 30 minutes, because when I got back, they were, like, washing Cody's bike.
Oh, you did. You weren't that, I mean... You made 2 laps.
Yeah, I made 2 full laps.
2 full laps.
I was quitting after 2 full laps. I didn't know that they'd done 3 because they only lapped me once, but obviously.
Right.
I can't. Your brain's not working when you're out there. I was like, I'm done.
Sometimes
quitting.
You just go dumb.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's for sure an art and
I was done.
I'm sure
you
kind of racing this that way, but.
Yeah, all right. So, Moto 2.
Moto 2, the first row was, let's see if I can get this.
Okay.
It was Tristan, Cody, Colton,
Taylor, and Will.
And Will Ray Orton.
Yep.
So, obviously, from Ryder having some trouble, he probably should have been in that top 5, but he wasn't.
Nope.
So, what I did was, I knew the course since I'd raced it.
Yep.
So, I was able to get ahead of the guys in a bunch of different spots. So, it was amazing how... They weren't just riding hard enduro. They were racing hard enduro.
That was the
intensity was wild.
Yeah. Well, actually, so back to Moto 1, at that long grass track section, Taylor and Colton were like neck and neck.
Yeah.
Coming through it, and Eric Kudla just happened to be there, and they had us ribboned kind of to the river, like the outside. Yeah. And I guess, I don't know if it was an accident.
Blew away, basically.
Yeah, the airs blew away. The banner was down, and
because I missed the same thing. They should have penalized me, but
okay.
Obviously,
well,
it didn't matter.
Colton straight-lined it to the enduro cross. Taylor followed the ribbon.
Yep.
Colton
beat got docked a spot.
Yeah,
basically.
So he beat him through the enduro cross track, but he was technically second, but he got docked to third. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that was unfortunate. And you'll hear Colton talk a little bit about it.
Oh, does he talk about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked about it.
I wasn't listening to that one. Or
right
there when you did it.
But, so, I mean, they were, Tristan and Cody were, like, blazing a trail.
Okay,
they were slowly pulling away from Taylor and Colton, and that was for a couple of laps, and then Ryder was staying within a minute of the top guys.
Okay.
So, I would start my watch when the leader would go by.
Which was Cody, right?
Well, it was either Cody or Tristan.
Okay.
Mostly Cody.
Gotcha.
And then, like, Ryder was right on Colton. I mean,
really?
Oh yeah, he closed the gap. So
okay.
Basically, it was a group of 5 with Taylor, Colton,
gotcha,
and Ryder
okay
in the top 2. Well, then on the second lap, the barbed wire hill. I don't know what we're calling it.
We're gonna call it the barbed wire hill. So you basically went to one end of the property on a field. You hit a barbed wire. You turn left, and that was like, that was the gnarliest section that they had.
It was probably the hardest feature.
100%.
Okay.
100, yep.
But the top guys, mainly Tristan and actually Cody and Pat and the trials guys.
Yeah.
I'm sure, actually I saw Quinn do it as well, Quinn Winslow. Cody was like just barely touching anything. He was just blasting up. It looked amazing.
Okay, so if anyone was there, you'll understand this. If not, just bear with me. So we came in this new section. You had to get up on this big rock, and there was like the V-notch way, or there was like the sketchy just
to get
splatter
up to the start of this thing was gnarly.
So I chose the V-notch way because it was safer. The big way was such a big face, I was afraid I'd loop it out or fall over. So I did that, and then I got up there. The first lap, Jackson and I had to team up to get it.
Jackson Davis.
So the second lap, when I got there, Pat caught me and the trials guy. I got caught and beat by a trials guy on a trials bike. I'm not proud of it, but
it
he made all of that stuff so easy. So Pat Smolich got there. So he ducked down He didn't go up the big rock to the left. He went down over a log and up that way. I didn't even know that was an option.
Yeah.
Not that beautiful. I could have made it, but
yeah. I saw several people do that.
Okay, so which way did Tristan and Cody go for those that were there and will know what you're talking about?
They went the to the left, but not the far left. So kind of left up the middle.
Did they go like straight to the mossy rock is what Adam was telling me to aim for?
Pretty much.
Okay.
They took a line that really wasn't a line.
Like, okay. They made a line because they're awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like barely touching the rear tire, just da-da-da, and then they're gone.
Okay.
But so that's where Ryder got hung up.
Okay.
I think Ryder might have looped it out or almost looped it out. He's had the wrong direction. And it, I mean.
This was the first time through?
No, this was the second time
through.
Okay,
second time through.
Ryder was still within a minute of, or, you know, maybe 2 minutes of the top guys. And
okay.
It just took him a while because he was trying to bulldog it. And, I mean,
he weighs 132 pounds.
Soaking wet. Ryder's 130 pounds. And,
yeah.
I mean, he's obviously a strong kid, but, you know, it blasted him. It took a lot out of it. But, you know, I don't know what he finished, but top five, top six.
I think it was fourth.
Okay. In that race.
Yeah.
So Taylor and Colton somehow reeled back in Tristan and Cody. I know Cody had an issue with the throttle housing.
Yep.
His bike kept hanging wide open. So apparently Cody was on the side of the trail beating his throttle with a rock. Tristan
sounds
called
like
him.
Caveman style.
Right. I think Tristan called him and Tristan was like, "You all right?" And Cody was like, "Yeah, I'm going."
Tristan in the interview, Tristan, we talked about an interview, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You can hear it there. We won't let you hear it from him. But so when they passed me, I was on my second lap, like midway through my second lap. Chuck DeLula, after yelling at me for letting the trials guy got a trials bike, me, and then I stopped, and he's like, "What are you doing? Go!" I'm like, "Chuck, I don't want to go right now. I need a minute." So we talked, and he's like, "Hey, the leaders are probably going to get you here in a little bit. They just came across the field." So it was Cody first. He passed me in the Hobbit Rock, the gnarly blue Hobbit Rocks.
Before or after the bridge?
Way before. Like, Hobbit Rocks, like, the first Hobbit Rocks.
Okay.
Not all that stuff.
The other field.
Yep. And then soon after him was Tristan. And then Colton. And, you know, they were pretty good. Like, we could hear him coming. They'd give a little rev. Colton came by. Then Taylor caught me after Josh's log up the little creek. And luckily I heard him coming because it was a real one-line creek. And I didn't want to get in there and hold him up. So he passed me. And then Ryder was a decent ways back by then. So it was cool. So what else did you see him do that was awesome?
I just saw racing. Like, you don't normally see, like, head-to-head.
Tip to tail.
I mean,
normally it's like the leader goes by.
Yeah.
Then five minutes or two later.
It was Tristan and Cody, like, full out. And then it was Taylor and Colton full out. And then for a while it was Ryder right behind them. But eventually, somehow, the top three, which was Cody, Tristan, and Colton, they were running together, and you could throw a blanket over them.
Man, that's crazy.
And it was within, let's say, 2 miles of the finish. So I skipped ahead and waited at the Enduro Cross track.
Okay.
And I knew, I mean, Colton's got the speed on the flatland stuff. Taylor's got the speed on the flatland stuff. And Cody has gotten a lot better at it.
They're all, even Pat Smajay's fast. Like,
Charles
guy
is crazy.
Super fast. I mean, he was fifth in the hot lap.
So I was talking to Aaron Kudla.
Okay.
In the back of the AMA box van. There's a lot
what
of
what were you two doing in the back of the box van?
We were enjoying the shade and the breeze.
Okay.
And there were a lot of people enjoying the shade. So
it got hot. Well, how hot was it today? What do you think?
Oh, man.
85?
It's pushing 90.
Yeah. Last year they had the race
in May.
Later. It was May 10th, maybe? 35 degrees, raining, and hailing.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, so I'll take the heat, actually. All right, so go ahead. You and Kudla.
But anyways, we were like, I told Eric, I'm like, man, you could throw a blanket over these guys. They may be racing through the Enduro Cross track for the finish. There went some GNCC guys.
Yeah, GNCC guys going the other way.
But anyways, we were, you know, I was like telling people, I'm like, y'all get ready. This could be wild. So and when I'd last seen him, Tristan was actually leading Cody.
Really?
Followed closely by Colton.
Okay.
So we could see the dust coming across the 100-mile-an-hour field. I saw a dark motorcycle So
with a really tall skinny man on it.
With a really tall skinny man. I knew it wasn't an orange motorcycle. It was dark blue.
Okay.
So
Cody Yamaha
came into the Endurocross track first. So you can guess what he was doing. I mean, he jumped every obstacle.
Okay, so did they?
I got a good video of it all. All
right, so did they hit the ramp or did they log?
I'm pretty sure they hit the ramp.
Okay.
The ramp was still there. I heard they were going to take it away.
I was so excited when I came around after my first lap, and then the ramp was there. Because it was funny because Shelby Turner and I were talking. She's like, are you going to hit the ramp? I'm like, absolutely. And so she said she went over the log. And, dude, this thing was a big log. And she made it over no problem. And I'm like, well, why'd you do that? She goes, yeah, I should have just done the ramp.
So I hit the log in my hot lap. This is backing way up. I hit the log in my hot lap because the guy in front of me hit the log, and I was like freaked out. I was like, oh, there's a reason he's not hitting the ramp. Like, something's going on. Something's moved. So I hit the log. And so after that, I was telling Farringer and I were talking, and he was like, you hit the log? He's like, that's dumber than wearing somebody's used mask.
I will say, I think Nick Farringer has some good one-liners. He's got a good one about camping. If you guys want to laugh hard, ask him about camping with him.
He's got a great camping joke, he'll tell you, I'm sure.
So when they got there, Cody bombed it, right?
Oh, my God. He bombed it, landed, jumped the entire the rock section, landed, jumped the entire tire section, landed, just like wheel-tapped the matrix. And then when he finished the last log, he did not let off the throttle from there to
crossing the,
it was like a Stu Baylor finish at a GNCC. I thought maybe he might loop it out, but
oh.
And then Taylor came across like maybe 5 seconds behind it.
Well, no, Tristan.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's orange bike. Old bike.
I get those.
How did
boys
he look coming through? Did he do the ramp, do you think? Do you remember?
Tristan looked great. I mean, I think Cody, Tristan, and Colton are all that level for Endurocross. And then, of course, Colton was another 20 seconds back, so he wasn't charging. He had third wrapped up, but gotcha. You know, he still looked smoother than anybody else. I mean, the dude can ride Endurocross.
Yeah.
Then, fourth place was in the last race. It was Taylor, and then I think fifth was Ryder.
Yeah.
But I don't know how time adjusted, how that worked out. So I'm gonna pull up the results right now.
The overall results.
You talk for a second, Drew.
All right, so I'll talk about me and how it was. So
Perfect. When
I got to the barbed wire fence hill, I can't remember who I was with. I think JoJo was ahead of us, and Jackson caught us there. No, Jackson's behind me. JoJo attempted it. Luckily, Josh Checker was there, like telling. There's a bunch of people there, but he was there, like, hey, here's what you need to do. And so JoJo kind of went up and fell off, and then Josh and Adam, who is Max's mechanic buddy, he has a sweet mullet. I'm sure you've all seen it by now. He just said Josh had aimed straight at him in the mossy rock, and so it was like this rock on an angle to a big rock to just.
I've got lots of video. We'll go ahead and throw it on the story.
Okay,
so people can see what it is.
Yeah, and if you were there, I mean, dude, that was the most spectated spot other than the Endurocross. And so I didn't make it. I didn't get close to making it. It was embarrassing. But I got up on the rock, and then I fell down in the hole. So as I'm doing that, JoJo is to my right trying to push out to the right. It just I fell down, and he filled me up with black loamy dirt from
how'd it taste?
Luckily, it did not get in the mouth. So and then he's doing that. I'm in the hole, and here comes Jackson up on the rock. I'm like, great. I'm getting run over. I'm going to be stuck. So I went to help JoJo, and he had just pushed his bike up. And I'm like, I look at Jackson, I'm like, dude, let's just help each other. Like, let's try to save some energy. So his bike was ahead of mine. I pulled him up, got on my bike, and my bike was way worse position than his.
Good call.
Yeah, he'd stopped before. I was like, dude, I'll help you. Let's go.
So, never ask for help if you can get out on your own.
Yeah. Well, and that was like JoJo, because I was going to ask him if he wanted help, and he'd pretty much done the work. And talking to him after the race, he said before we got there, he tried like 3 different lines, fell over, and he just smoked himself.
Yeah.
So I got up that, and then after that, we went around to the bridge, like the wooden bridge that had wire on it. And we looked at it, we walked in, I'm like, this doesn't look bad. What I failed to look at was the hill that was after
it. Right after it.
So, and JoJo.
Did you take the left line or the right line?
Right. So,
yeah.
It was Jackson, me, guy on the trials bike. And we're waiting on JoJo because he's struggling on the hill. So the trials guy pulls up, and I'm like, you in a hurry? Jackson made it up the ramp and stopped. So when JoJo moved, so I told the trials guy, like, listen, if you're in a hurry, go ahead. And he's like, no, I've won my class. I'm just out here having fun. So Jackson got out of the way. I did the ramp, the hill, and luckily, originally we thought it went left was the only line. So I made it all the way up and turned right and avoided all the stuff that JoJo was just, he was gassed at that point. And then so up to the right was gnarly because there was like a 3 foot
ledge
rock. And so
the left had that as well.
Okay. I heard a guy going left and it didn't sound like
the
it was fun.
Left was worse.
Okay. So I couldn't even get to the left. I turned right, followed Jackson. And that was, then we did another section.
Was there a big drop off or something?
Holy cow. That was the one. So when we were
playing. Could you roll it?
No. No. You could have, but I think you would have ended up going over the bar. So Will and I, when we were play riding on Saturday, found this section, and it was a weird rock, probably 5 feet wide with, and probably 5 feet high. It was like a little sliver.
I heard Louise.
Yeah, so on the other side was about a 6 foot drop to like a just a channel. And it was a
looked like an old road bed, but I don't know if it was.
Yeah, it was like the rocks had separated by about 6 feet. So you basically had to land up on this thing and stop, and it was the width of your bike, and the pivot turn left, or you could go right. So Jackson went right, tried to get a log, and he got hung up.
Like, Cody and Tristan and them made that look like nothing.
I was like, well, Jackson's hung up. I'm going to give this a go. Luckily, Chuck was up there. I launched it, and of course, I erred on the side of make it to the top versus fall off it. Well, that meant I had a little too much speed.
Ugh.
And Chuck kind of grabbed my barkbuster as I hit the front brake. And
you got
like,
outside assistance.
I'm DQ'd. I'm out. So luckily, he stopped me from going off.
Hopefully,
in there.
No AMA officials are listening.
No, hopefully not. Technically, it's race officials. We've already left. Protest period's over. So he luckily he grabbed me, and I think I'd have stopped anyway. But so I turned left, and I never saw Jackson or JoJo again after that. Oh, I didn't even think about it. The start of Moto 2 for me.
Yeah,
got a whole shot. There was Danny Lewis, Billy Myers.
Those fast dudes.
I don't know if Mike McGinnis was on it. Anyway, I was literally thinking of you, like, I'm just going to, like, let them go. They're revving it. They're, like, serious. And Danny's, like, been getting hole shots left and right.
Yeah.
So I was like, screw it. If I get a hole shot, I'm gone. Or I'm going to try to go.
Yeah, yeah. No, not a GNCC bike. Sorry, it was a scooter.
It was a scooter on the back of a Sprinter. So I get the hole shot, make it over the log without any ill effects, go up the hill, come around, and you and I had walked, and we're like, oh, let's take this high line. It was little did I know, the blue line went left. And that was the orange line. Came out on the hill we just come up for the start stretch. And so the entire row got by me. That was not a good start. Then I got to the hill we'll call a hill Josh added. It had an upside down danger sign.
Yep.
And I floundered there. And Jackson, I went left. I thought the only way to get up it was left. And Jackson Davis and two other people went right. And it was just like a straight dirt wall. And I'm like, they're going to kill me right here. I didn't make it. Fell back off. Went down. Tried it again. And I was stuck and I had to push out. I literally spiked my heart rate, and I did not have fun the first lap.
Yeah, it's tough when you put it at 180.
Kind of like it was cool, and it's kind of basically like what you did when you looped it out on that first race, first moto.
And then you try to make up all that time, and you need to just chill.
Well, I went into just trail ride mode.
Like, yeah, sometimes
you
have to.
And it was, and so finished the first lap, and I was like, all right, I got my second win, and the second lap was actually enjoyable. Got back to the barbed wire, like the hardest rock feature, and they had a little bit of a new line to go up on this huge rock and then kind of wheelie pivot turn, and I did it without help. Jack's not, so I ended up riding the whole second lap without help.
Sweet.
I was dreading, you know, there's always, and I'm sure you guys can relate, like if you're doing more than one lap, when you finish the first lap, there's things on the second lap that you just don't want to do again.
What did you dread, like, during the hot lap? Enduro cross track? Because that's all I was thinking about.
Were you really?
Yes. I was like, oh, God. That.
I was honestly, like, this is me being an idiot. Like, I wasn't worried about anything.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, well, so back up to the rev limiter, I didn't push on the hot lap. And I ended up starting on, like, rope 6 or 7. And I'm like, mentally, I'm like, I'm going to try to push harder because there's nothing hard out here. Like, I'm going to sprint. I'm going to go fast, dude.
Yeah.
We got... You know, it
well,
was...
Well, what made it hard were the pinch points.
Yep.
And then if you caught somebody, literally, it's not even wide enough for one motorcycle.
Yeah.
So how, you know, if somebody's stuck there, you're just stuck.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, so then when we went to Moto 1 after the hot lap, I'm like, I've got a good idea of some of the spots. And it got ridden in. There were some spots in those pinch points where people were going over rocks. It was crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't even know. It was in Hobbit Land early in the race. I went up this big rock. I'm like, oh, I'm set. There's a 4 foot drop on the other side. I had to back my bike down. And everyone on my row got around me.
I guess we've gone over who won. Let's do results.
Yeah. Then you told me to start talking, and shocker, I did not stop.
Yeah, that was good, Drew. Okay, so our overall winner today was Tristan Hart.
Yep, he went 2-1.
2-1.
Yep.
And then Cody Webb went 4-1.
No, so then Tristan went 1-2.
Yeah, you're right. Yep. You're right. So, I mean, that's huge. Tristan is, you know, he's definitely, you know, chipping away at Cody's dominance.
Yeah. And I think he was happy because this was a little more trialsy, and Cody obviously has a great trials background, and he's been stepping up his trials game, but he, you know, it was a hard fight. Well, it was a good race. I mean,
Tristan thought that the hills gave him a little bit of an advantage because he's a hill guy.
But to me, I don't think there was any hills that were that big. Do you? I mean, you pretty much rolled the whole thing.
No.
It wasn't like there was battle of the goats hills that if you don't clean, you're going to push it.
There were like some steep sections that were sketchy, but there were no like hold it wide open and really make the bike gain traction.
It wasn't like Erzberg long, just
it definitely wasn't like that. No. And then, okay, sorry. So moving down the list.
Third
place, 3-3, is Colton Haker.
Yep.
Colton, he looked good today. I thought,
hear
in the interview, he said it was a weird day for him. He had some weird mistakes, but he's like, overall, I felt pretty good.
I think it was an interview with Seat Time or Rob Mitchell after Rev Limiter where he was like, I've never spent this much time on a two-stroke because normally his focus was Endurocross and TKO was one race. He's like, why do I spend a bunch of time on my two-stroke just for one race? And so he said he's been putting in the time and you know, it showed.
Yeah, he's enjoying it. It's showing. He's a really great motorcycle rider.
Yep.
We're lucky to have him riding hard enduro.
We are.
So, Ryder LeBlanc, fifth. I mean, how old is Ryder?
18.
18. I mean,
who was fourth? Taylor.
Taylor was fourth.
Okay, sorry. We went. I didn't know if we said that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I may have, may not. I don't know. And I don't have I don't have his scoring, but I know he went 2 and maybe 4-ish. I don't know.
Okay. We took a picture of the results. They're not up on Live Laps combined yet, so we're guessing.
Ryder LeBlanc, fifth place. He had a bad first race. He had a great hot lap. I mean, I feel like he was going to be in the hunt for a podium.
I think after the hot lap, a bunch of people did. And I know he put the work in, walked the hot lap, had his lines dialed.
He's putting in a lot of work riding with Chuck. I'm sure Chuck's put him through the paces. So
yeah, DRT, they
he's coming. And I think everybody knows it.
Yep.
So Ryder LeBlanc on fifth. Pat Smage, sixth place. I mean, I don't know. It says he went 8-8, but that's not right. That looked good.
And it's great to have, and you know, now that I've gotten to know him a little bit and his wife Hannah, it's great to have them at the races. It's just someone different. I mean, I overheard Max and Nick talking, and they were like, dude, there didn't used to be this much competition.
Yeah.
I mean, they were like, you could show up, muscle your way through it, and be like
top five. Yeah.
And now it's, dude, there's just that, fifth to 15th. You know, you have a bad race and you're hosed. So, it's great to have Pat. Unfortunately, unfortunately for us, he's gone back to trials.
Yeah, well, lucky for trials.
Yep.
He's a good dude.
It's not like he's won any championships.
So, the caveman got seventh.
That would be Nick Faradinger.
Faradinger got seventh.
He got seventh.
And I think he's happy that he kind of shook off the
Texas
funk he was in Texas.
Texas was not good to him. And he was actually, I don't think he was feeling too good coming in this weekend. He said he had a rough week at work, rolled in typical Nick style late Saturday. Did he come in Saturday?
He went partied with Russell Bobbitt and Evan Smith in Indianapolis.
Maybe he stopped and had a beer.
Yeah. Okay, but that's partying for him.
Yeah, it's fun to have Nick around. I'll give him that.
All right, so Max.
And congrats. Yeah. So seventh for Nick, eighth for Max.
Max Gearson, eighth place.
Dude, did you see his shoulder?
Yeah, what happened?
Did you see it unbandaged?
No.
Okay, I didn't see it. It was funny, he was describing, it's like anytime you talk to someone about a race course, he's like, remember that one rock double downhill and you do this? I'm like, no, Max, I don't. Apparently he was doing some downhill and caught his shoulder on a Hobbit rock, and a Hobbit reached
those
out.
Hobbit rocks were sharp.
Yes. And talk about the thorns and Hobbit rocks.
Yeah.
He said it ripped it wasn't like a big cut, like needed stitches, it just took like a flab of skin off.
Ugh.
So, but he had it all bandaged up. So what'd you say, he got eight?
He got eight.
Okay.
Ninth went to Will Riordan. Is he Australian or New Zealand?
We've officially determined. I think he's Australian.
Okay, but he's Californian now.
Yeah, he is. It's good to have him around, man. He's super cool. We were warming up before the Moto 2, and I was up in the woods. I had to relieve myself, and he had this little line, and I was like, where's he going? So I just followed him down, and it was like a little rock splatter. And then the first time, I was like, I'm not doing it. So he loops around, does it again. I loop around, do it, and make it. He, like, gave me a thumb, like, fist pump. So I was heck like, yeah. Thanks, Will. Thanks. So yeah. Congratulations to him. What'd you say, ninth?
Will got ninth, okay. And then Quinn Wenzel got 10th. And, okay. Like, I saw Diane, she was waiting on Quinn at that, I don't know what that little rocky spot was called right off the road.
The one rocky spot. Oh, well, they had, it was where, like, the splatter was.
That yeah.
So
yeah.
It had an inside Enduro flag, and it was, like, the only ditch right off the parking lot.
Yeah, so I saw
Quinn. It was all blue line.
I saw Diane there, and I was like, hey, Diane, I just saw Quinn back at Bobwire Hill or whatever we're calling it.
I like it.
I was like, he looked good. And she was like, okay, thank you. Because, you know, I was worried. I hadn't seen him in a while. I'm like, now he's coming. He looked good. Well, and
go ahead.
I mean, and it's just a case of the competition is crazy right now.
Well, and he's, I think the Riehu.
Riehu?
He's been riding it. They had a couple bikes, more than a couple bikes there. Easy up, a couple easy ups. And They're making a push.
Yeah, they got a little setup.
Yeah, so, and we didn't get a chance to talk to him when we were leaving. I saw him kind of limping, so I don't know if he got a knee or he's just sore or what's going on.
Man,
so.
Anything can happen out there.
Yeah, so we're glad to have him and Diane around.
I'll just run through the next few. Logan.
We can't talk about everyone?
Yeah, we can talk about them all. Fine. Logan Balupe, he's your boy.
Balupe. He actually.
Balupe?
Balupe, yes. He did the hot lap. He came back and said, dude, almost hit like 3 course workers. I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, dude, I didn't see anyone. Right. So my Moto 1, here comes a course worker up the trail straight at me.
Oh.
And so then I'm cutting through like the main grassy, beautiful grassy field. They have us just doing some like, not the high speed stuff at the end, but between a couple ranges,
pitter?
Under the water crossing.
What? Pitter?
Pitter?
Pit bike rider?
No. A worker is going left to right. I'm going straight. I'm like, dude, we could have just T-boned. Like, he could have run me down.
Y'all might have died.
It would have been hurt.
Right.
So, I had a similar experience, but congratulations to him. Good ride.
Yeah. Cooper Abbott, 12th, which...
Oh, is his number.
Right. I wonder who got 69th.
I don't know. We'll have to look.
But anyways, Cooper, I think he faded throughout the weekend.
Do you?
Yeah, because in that last moto, I swear he started pretty far up, and I don't know what happened. It'd be interesting to get his side of the story.
Well, and if anybody knows, the Abbott family's going through a lot right now.
Yeah, no doubt.
His mom got diagnosed with bone cancer, and then while they were actually at the rev limiter, she had an accident, hurt her back, and she's starting chemo treatment, and so Destream's actually there taking care of him. So I'm not one to ask for thoughts and prayers, but they could use some right now.
Do it for them, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So the Abbott family's been in the motorcycle industry for a long time.
All right. 13th went to Spencer Wilton.
Yeah, Spencer, former, also a Canadian.
He's really tall.
No, that's not him.
He's really short.
Well, I mean, he's taller than me. He was actually on a gas. He's from Canada. He's friends with Shelby.
He can ride, dude.
Yeah, he can ride. He's friends with Shelby and the other Canadian. What's that guy's name?
Tristan.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. All
right, so he got, what'd you say?
Spencer got 13th.
Okay.
Brandon Petrie?
I don't know. He's another Canadian, but he's the really tall one.
He's like 8 feet tall.
Yeah, he is. And yeah, congrats. He's on a KTM, had SRT gear on, looked pretty good. All SRT.
Yeah, I saw that.
Big shout out for SRT.
His bike looks about like mine. It's kind of rough looking, not running really any graphics.
Well, so speaking of your bike.
Yeah.
We do have to give a shout out to SLM Racing, KTM of North Texas.
Absolutely.
I love my TPI. I was loading my bike up after the race. I went to turn the gas off. I'm like, what am I doing?
No.
Like, I just went back into it. So I think one of my favorite things about TPI, other than not leaking gas,
I know what you're doing. Laying it down.
Yep. Just when we
lay it on its side, you go for a walk.
Can't find a tree, throw it down.
You don't need a kickstand.
Nope. But I've got one. So big thanks to those guys. If you guys need anything in the Dallas Fort Worth area, look them up for sure.
Arlington.
I don't know.
Somewhere. I think it's in Arlington.
Oh, is it?
All right. So 15th with the James Flynn, and I was going to talk about our Flynn experience this weekend because I didn't really know Big Jim Flynn.
Oh yeah.
So
sorry, go ahead.
He came over last Was it last night?
It was last night.
God, they all run together after you've been doing this for a couple days.
I thought you were going to say after you've been drinking for a couple days. Like, we did not drink that much.
No.
We were good boys.
But James, or Jim, was the main promoter for Grinding Stone.
Yep.
So it was cool getting to hear him talk to Josh and to me and Drew about the whole putting on that race. Mm-hmm. And he was so stoked about how that turned out.
He was.
And, you know, just great people. Like,
a great dirt bike family, like, talking about them. They drove 23 hours. It was not 12 hours from Arizona here.
Okay.
Or to Iowa.
12?
Anyway.
Anyways, so James, he took one of the smoothest lines up the barbed wire hill.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He looked just like Cody. He looked all of them.
So, the night before, we were hanging out. We see a dude. So, where the ramp was at the start of the Enduro Cross
He's
track,
obviously a trials dude.
Are two of the biggest logs ever. All of a sudden, some dude on a pedal bike, not a trials pedal bike, a mountain bike, hops up on top of him, like, at
Hopping
a perpendicular.
Around. Yep.
Does a 180, land, and hops, and then hops off. And we're like, we're yelling for him to do it again. He does it again. So, that was James Flynn.
Well, and after the, when I went back to the start for the finish, you know, I just seen James, like, look really good. I know I think he got lapped, but I went back and I happened to see Jim. I was like, Jim, I just saw James. He looked really, really good on a really terrible.
Oh, so what did he do? Like, what line did he take?
He got the same line Cody took.
Okay.
And he just blew up it.
Well, I met him at TKO one year. Him and I were in the LCQ, and I know he'd done some endurance.
Oh, yeah.
I just got home.
You got smoked.
Yeah, and he was young then. Okay. I think that was like his first time at TKO. He's obviously gotten much better.
His dad said, interestingly enough, he was like, "Yeah, he's got this skill. We just got to work on the aggressiveness, like the racecraft, like what I believe Pat Smage is getting right now is probably what James needs."
Okay.
But anyway,
his experience, he's young. I don't know how young he is, but he's young.
Yeah, man, it wouldn't be nice.
Yeah. All right, so he was what?
15th.
15th. All right, what do we got for 16th?
Danny Lewis. 16th. I saw Danny a couple times, and, oh, man, when he came through the Enduro Cross Track at the end, he was struggling. He was
really
smoked.
Wow.
But, I mean, he pushed through.
So, what, he got 16th?
16th.
Okay.
Drew Fortner, 17th. The other Drew.
Big hops.
Billy, your boy, Billy Myers.
I beat him once this year, and I was like, sweet, me and Billy are going to go at it. No.
Well, he beat you by one position. Drew Kirby, 19th.
19th, I'll take that.
And these are the pro results. So I apologize to any A guys that were missing. I don't know.
Yeah, luckily they took the trials guy out that beat me.
Yeah. Noah Keppel, 20th. That's kind of off weekend for Noah. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I didn't talk to him. They were pitted kind of far from us.
JoJo Tool, 21st. Jackson Davis, 22nd.
Oh, JoJo beat Jackson.
Mike McGinnis, 23rd. Adam Hartnagel.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with Adam.
That's an off weekend for Adam.
Yeah, I mean, normally he 24th. Definitely owns me. And Mike McGinnis is like a ripper.
Yeah.
I mean,
I raced one year
at TKO with him.
McGinnis was on my 5x5 row.
Yep.
With Mike Brown, Mike McGinnis, and maybe Stu Baylor. And, like, it was a stack.
and then they take 3 out of 5, and you're like, yeah, boys.
Yeah, I was like, see y'all back at the...
they're over there pulling wires off their bike, cutting the brake line.
Yeah. I can't remember if I finished that one or not. Anyways, I'm going to keep reading.
All right.
Tobin Miller, 25th.
Wow, good job, Tobin. He'd been struggling. Like, he had some... The hot lap did not treat him well. He started his bike didn't start off the start.
Chris McElvey, 26th. I don't know who he is.
Okay.
Joseph Van Roekel, 27th.
Don't know him.
And this is where it gets weird, because I saw him in the final. I thought I did.
Who?
Maybe not. The Roekel guy.
Okay.
And 28th was me. But this is obviously the pro.
So it's just pros.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe I should have just raced the last one anyways. Garrett, Krauth, Tucker Smith, Zachary Cleland.
Zach Tack. Oh, my gosh. Can I tell you going on, Zach?
Yeah.
Or do you want to keep going? Keep going. We'll talk Zach after
Okay.
That.
Yeah, we'll finish out the pro class. Zach Cleland, Jesse Bergman, Greg Murray, Nathan Looney, and Brad Krauth. And that's all I got.
Okay. There's more, but...
Yeah, so... When I got turned around?
Upside down, backwards.
Turned around, upside down, backwards. Finally got going.
Were you trying to check see if your drain plug was in was in Ohio?
Apparently.
Yeah. All right, so when you finally got going.
When I finally got going and I got hung up at a bottleneck and stopped, Ryder comes up behind me, I turn around and look, it's Zach. And he's like, oh, hey, Will.
Dang it. Zach got me. So I think it was between Moto 1 and Moto 2. I borrowed one of those sweet Specialized e-bikes, and ironically enough, several people came up to me and asked me if I'd bought my wife an e-bike yet, because they listened to the podcast.
Well, Bryson just sent you a bunch of listings on Pink Bike. Yes. You need to look at.
Well, I didn't recognize the number, but okay. It all made sense. So long story short, I haven't been able to find an e-bike for my wife. So if anyone has one, send me a message, because she needs one.
Yeah, if you're trying to get rid of an e-bike, you'll pay top dollar.
No, I am super cheap. I will, like, borrow it and give it back in a couple years, maybe. All right, so I go over to where Adam and Zach are parking. And I don't think Zach made top 30, so he was in street clothes. Adam was hanging out. All of a sudden, the pit bike posse at this place was
Iowa Mafia.
Yeah, and dude, they were ripping. So four, like, and they were all like doubling and tripling each other. So like three KLX like 140s roll up with two people on them, and they get off, and I'm like thinking they were parked next to Zach and Adam. All of a sudden, they get off, and they're like, Zach, can we get a picture? Can we get your autograph?
Nice.
And I'm like, what?
Yep.
And so Adam, we were talking, I was like, all we need is Tom. He goes, yeah, then I can just start taking pictures. Because the joke always is, people come up and start talking to Zach and Tom, and then they'll look at Adam, and they'll be like, hey, man, will you take a picture?
They don't realize that Adam's the most badass rider out of all of them.
Yeah.
Or hard enduro. I don't know about.
Yeah, fast travel. Well, it's great to have Zach and Adam around. We like them. They're good dudes.
For sure.
So, all right. What else are we going to talk about?
Why don't we now play... Our winner, Tristan Hart's interview, and our third place, Colton Hager interview. And then we're going to come back and talk about Tough Like Roar.
Yes, we have some news about Tough Like Roar and some updates.
All right, so we'll be right back. Here are Tristan and Colton. What's up, guys? It's Will and Drew. We're here with Tristan Hart, winner of the Iowan Hard Enduro.
Thanks, guys.
Congratulations. How about that? I'll get it started.
Thanks. Yeah, it was a pretty good day. I mean, it didn't start off that good. Like, the whole weekend in general, actually. And I got a flat tire, and I was stranded with no service, kind of. So I was pretty stressed out with that.
What happened? Was that on the way here in a car?
Yeah, I was here on Friday, and I walked, and then it was Saturday. I was just coming to ride the bike and then rewalk some stuff, and it was in a spot that I didn't really have service. So I'm like, what the fuck? And I've never had a flat tire in a vehicle before, so I was kind of confused on what to do. So I just texted my girlfriend to call Hertz to see what they wanted to do, and they said, just get a new tire. I'm like, okay. So I put the donut on, and I rolled to the next town, and these old boys were pretty cool, and they put a new one on for me, and I came out, and then...
So what happened on the hot lap? You didn't do so hot on the hot lap.
I got the bike so stuck, just like jammed in between two rocks, a pinch point, and the axle, I think, is what really stuck, because it sticks out as like a square, basically, and I couldn't lift it, I couldn't pull it back, and I couldn't go forward, so I'm like, what? And so I ended up just like holding it wide open, and somehow it came free, but it popped the chain off.
Okay, I heard your chain came off.
I have lots of experience getting a chain back on. How did you do?
Actually, that I don't know. I don't remember the last time I had to put a chain back on. So it definitely wasn't fast for me, and I was kind of freaking out. My goggles were fogging out. And at that point, the row behind me all had already passed me, so I was a minute or more already behind. So I knew that the first race was going to be screwed up, because I was going to be starting on row possibly three or two. And luckily, I was on row two, so... It actually kind of worked out, because being on row two on adjusted time, which was the key thing here, so that if I caught them, then I would essentially beat them. So,
how many guys on the first row did you end up passing
or catching?
That started in front of you?
I caught two, but okay. I guess just seeing them, the top three, Taylor, Colton, and Cody, just seeing them every so often was just fuel to freaking keep going. So it actually kind of worked to my advantage, and then... In the last race, me and Cody were going at it a bit. I followed him for most of it. I led a little bit, and then I don't know if he crashed, but his throttle was stuck wide open or something. He was on the road. I'm like, you good? And I guess he followed me right after that. And we pretty much battled to the finish, and he got me at a pretty silly spot that I screwed up. And then
Was it Enduro Cross, or was it before we
know? No, it was after the mud pit.
Oh.
And then you go up that hill, and there's like there's a left split, and I went right, and he took that, and he kind of hit me a bit, and I think he was yelling, I was yelling.
Was it fun yelling, or just, hey, what's going on? We were cool.
And then it was on, and I tried to close the gap in the grass section, but it was so dusty, it was just hard to go fast and be safe at the same time, but I tried, and...
Were you tapped out?
Oh, yeah.
Were you? I was so scared. I think I looked down, and 52 is the fastest. You don't have an odometer on that.
No.
Okay.
So I don't know, but it was fast enough with a... soft suspension and a soft tire on. It was a little sketchy. And then I just couldn't catch him, and I got second, which was good enough for the overall.
All right, so Cody ended up going 4-1, and then you ended up going
1-2.
1-2.
Yeah.
And then Colton went 3-3.
Cody got second, yeah. So if I would have beat Cody, then Cody wouldn't have got second. So that's probably why he was pushing so hard. He didn't want to – no?
If Cody had gone 2-2, or excuse me, 4-2, he still would have got second.
He would have gotten second, but if Colton beat him, because it was a
tie. They'd have been tied. So this is Robbie.
The top three would have tied.
Right.
And then Cody would have got it. Whoever finished second would have got the second place overall.
So we also need to say congratulations to Robbie for, you know, his superior mechanic skills.
That's nothing. It's all the rider.
Hey, the bike has to finish.
I just scream at him wherever I can to make him go faster.
I made sure to give him a wide berth when he came by. I was not getting anywhere near him.
Did you have a favorite section of this track, or?
Yeah, this track had some good hill climbs, which usually plays to my strong suit with Cody. He's good in the rock, so that's his strong suit. And this one had a lot of hill climbs, which I was making some time up on him on the hills. And so, yeah, I'd say the hills were pretty sweet here.
So
cool track.
They added that new section back by the barbed wire fence. How did you guys get through it? Did you struggle? Did you clean it? Were you pushing?
Cody was making a lot of time there because he would just clean that so good. And
okay.
The one lap, I think I lost like 20 or 30 seconds, and then I was just trying to use the hill climbs to try to catch back up. But
well, there wasn't any long, nasty hill climbs. I mean, I don't remember getting out and pushing on a hill climb. If it was wet, oh my gosh.
If it was wet, that would have been like near impossible, I think, to do a lap. It would have been
nasty.
Yeah,
a lot of that stuff with no run would have just
been. But they could have adjusted the track to suit that, but they did a good job, I think, making the track harder for the conditions we had.
Josh and both Dan, the guy from the Island Hard Enduro guys, they listened to what Josh said, listened to what the rider said, and put in some gnarly stuff. It was late on, late yesterday, put it in.
Visually, it looked impossible, but the traction, thankfully, was really good.
If it wasn't this much traction, no way.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff.
So it's good that they, they changed to the track conditions and made the track a good racetrack, I think.
Well, sick. Yeah, congratulations. You headed back to Canada now?
Yep.
What's next? Last dog, you can do it?
Yeah, are you guys? No, of course not.
Sorry.
He's scared of the tire mount. That's why he won't show up.
Exactly.
Yes.
We'll have to get you to send us some interviews.
Oh, that'd be funny. No?
Yeah.
Congrats, man.
Thank you.
Happened to be my luck. It was just like a day where I was like riding really well.
What's up, guys? This is Will with American Hard Enduro. I'm here with Colton Haker. Colton, how you feeling?
I'm good, man. Thanks for coming by for an interview.
Absolutely. So you went, I believe,
3-3.
How'd you do in the hot lap?
Yeah. Third. So I went.
It was 3-3-3. And it was kind of like we had two hot laps today.
Yeah. For sure. So the first one was like a 6-mile loop that we all went individually, I believe. And then, or was it?
No, we started five.
Sorry, five. Yeah. And then the second race was kind of the same thing. We did another lap that was a little bit harder than the first hot lap.
But did that second lap seemed easier because I knew where the hard shit was. Did you feel that?
I just added some stuff. I didn't walk anything. I looked on YouTube and I was like, doesn't look too bad. And then I looked at the weather and it was dry and I was like, yeah, it's really not gonna be bad then.
Have you ever ridden traction this good?
I felt like it was slick.
You felt okay? Just the silt or
silts, and it was on the rocks, and I just felt like it was loose. It was just loose on the front, it was loose on the rear. It was like I couldn't
and get I'm sure that last moto it really got slick, especially on lap three.
It was funny because half the course I struggled with way more. It was almost like the dirt was looser for me, and it was more pushy and rolly. And then once we switched to the other side of the course, the other side of the valley here,
yeah,
I started just like clicking off and never making mistakes. And I was just like, oh, it's so weird. But ultimately I realized
over here
I felt like I was just kind of skatey, pushy, losing the rear, losing the front, and then on this side of the valley where it was more kind of like big boulders and rocks and they were more secure, and the dirt was like, I think it had a little bit of moisture on it because it's north facing slope,
right?
And I was just like crushing
it's just
all
like
that.
A ski slope, it was just, you get those conditions.
I was just crushing it through there.
Okay, so as far as intensity wise, it looked super intense that last moto, and although, so this wasn't the hardest hard enduro I've ever seen, it looked like the intensity made it super difficult.
Honestly, we were just talking about it, like Taylor and I and Tristan, and we were like, that was fun. Like,
yeah, y'all were racing.
We were racing the course versus like trying not to make a mistake, I guess. Even though, you know, we all have our fair share of mistakes, I completely looped my bike out and broke Rob, the camera guy.
Oh, I heard about
Works is freaking, he broke his lens on my bike. I was like, I saw his lens and I was like, dude, I'm sorry, man.
I heard that was a $2,800 lens.
I'm sure it was.
Well, I was kind of chasing you guys, staying ahead of y'all for a couple laps. And then for the last lap, you three were right together, Cody, Tristan, and Colton. I think actually Tristan was ahead of Cody. And then you guys went through the big field.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to come down to the enduro cross track.
Yeah. Definitely pushing at the end there. I got kind of right to them. But yeah,
bottle or something.
I think something happened. I don't remember, but they were right there. And but I had to come from way back again after the loop out.
Right.
So every time the first lap I had a really weird mistake in the beginning, right when we were all riding together. We went up this ledge and I caught neutral at the top of it. So the second part of my throttle response, it just went bing, and I just like stopped on the side of this hill cliff, clinging to it. To the right, like leaning in, clinging to it in neutral. I got it in gear, but I was so like on the skid plate and my rear wheel was on the ground. I had to like lift the bike, move it. I was like, I probably lost a minute. So then I had to caught back up, and then had a loop out.
Yeah.
And then had to catch up again. So
that's that unpredictable traction I was kind of talking about. All of a sudden you just get more traction than you really wanted.
Yeah, I mean, there were spots where it was for sure traction, but at the same time, I felt like the looseness and the dust and the siltiness of it was pretty gnarly. But anyways, ultimately, yeah, I mean, rode well, but I had a weird day. Like, I just felt like I caught neutral. I felt like every single time I was trying to, like, make a push, something weird happened. I get, like, a stick right through my front wheel and stop me.
Sounds like you're on the what I do method.
I was like every straightaway, like I couldn't shift the bike. Like I was like trying to shift, it wouldn't shift. I hit it in neutral a bunch. I was like, what is going on? And everything I did today, I felt like I was riding well, but the just wasn't meant to be.
Well, third's not bad. I mean, you guys, all three of you, I mean, on back, probably top 5-6, y'all were all railing. So congratulations on the podium, and we'll see you at the next one.
Right on. Appreciate it.
All right, so that is a wrap on the Iowan Hard Enduro. You got anything else, Drew?
No, it was my first time in the state of Iowa.
Me too.
I enjoyed it. Well, that was a good race. I'm really glad that since it was so dry, that they listened to Josh and they were willing to put in some gnarly stuff.
Yep.
It made it a lot better for Moto2. So all around, they definitely did the most of what they have. What'd you think about it?
I mean, I come away once again going, man, the dirt bike hard enduro community is just awesome.
Yeah,
just love these people.
Well, and it's probably one of my favorite places we've camped. It was beautiful,
was
lush,
amazing.
Green field. There's a huge river. There's a creek. It was just, and you know, the weather being good, like, God, what do we say all the time? Like, how many hard enduros we go to, and it's just miserable.
Well, and
or raining.
I never really talked to Rob Mitchell that much, so I had a good conversation with him. Like I said, Jim Flynn, just all these people, man, just people coming up, be like, hey, we listen to the podcast. You know, we love what you guys are doing. That's super cool. Love it.
Well, and it was funny because I was talking to Diane Wenzel, and she was like, we really enjoy the podcast. We just have one problem. And I'm like, here we go. She said, we need to do more of them. And I was like, well, there's times we don't feel like we have anything to talk about. And, you know, I've thought of it before, like,
we need to do more product reviews is what I'm hearing.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard that from several people.
Okay.
I don't know if people care to hear us talk about product, but
and we're kind of, I don't want to say we're set in our ways, but, you know, and I told Dan, I was like, well, you know, originally what kind of got this all started is you and I would call each other when we're driving around for work for a couple hours, and we just talk for like an hour about what's going on.
Yep.
You know, and just,
we should record this.
Yeah, and it was like, so that's where the podcast kind of came from, and it's, we'll see what we can do. I mean, I've been doing some rider interviews with, you know, I did Cody and I did Tristan. I need to maybe get back on that. I want to do Colton after spending some time with him the last couple races. Rev Lunar here, you know, he's a family man now. He's got two children.
Two little girls.
Yeah, moved up to Idaho. So I think I'd like to do one with him, just get a little more of the backstory and talk to him.
Right on. So one of the, I mean, Tough Like Roar sign up is coming up
Tuesday, May 4th, I believe.
8 p.m. Eastern time.
And so Robert Moan, who is the promoter of Tough Like Roar, sent me some stuff to talk about. Normally, we'd have him on, do like a quick interview with him. But since we're driving, we want to just throw it in since we probably won't do something else before Tuesday.
So sign up is Tuesday, May 4th, 8 p.m. Eastern time. I'm about to sneeze, so I apologize.
bless you.
Excuse me. Usually sneeze in multiples of three, so.
All right, let's see what happens. Oh, that's a dose. Bless you.
Maybe just two. Who knows?
Nine.
Okay, go to roar.org or go to Live Laps for sign up.
Okay.
And basically, here it comes.
Oh, number three.
Yeah!
Bless you.
Woo! That was a dad sneeze right there.
Yep.
Okay, so the earlier you sign up, the closer to the front you're going to get in your respective class. They're doing a 300 rider limit. Yep. I know they reached that last year.
Absolutely.
Lots of info on the website. Live Laps, and all about race format, which is very similar to last year. Saturday's races are great for like B and C riders. It's your hard hair scramble. Anybody's gonna like it if you like good single track.
Yeah, and some challenging stuff, but not horrible. And I mean, I hate to say it, I'm gonna sound like a little baby. Rob will make fun of me when he hears it, but I'm like, it beats me up on Saturday. And he's like, I want everyone to get, I don't want them to drive all the way here and not get seat time. So
you get tons of seat time. You're going to get 40 miles on Saturday alone.
Yep.
All right, then Sunday is a totally different course. Set up to challenge the top pros. I'm kind of reading this. Most riders will not complete two laps. It's a five-hour time limit, and they've made a lot of new trail for this year's race.
Yes.
Go to the Tough Like Roar Facebook page. They got videos. They got all that good stuff. There's a new main event trail called Panama, and it looks pretty gnarly.
Yeah, if you've been there before, it's on the same like feature wall that Heaven and Wrong Side of Heaven were. Only I guess it's much longer.
Yeah,
is what he said in the
much
text.
Much longer.
Much
in
longer.
In caps.
Oh, yeah. It's in caps. It's big.
And they've got the biggest purse in hard enduro and possibly.
Yep.
Dirt bikes.
Well, off-road. If you listen to the podcast, we've talked about it. The Roar Club is awesome.
Yeah. There's like 800 of those guys.
Oh, man. It seems like they're everywhere in their orange shirts. And so...
giving out water.
Their goal is like, Rob just like, I want to put on a good event. I don't care if we make money. Well, fortunately, because of all the support, they made money. And he was like, I think we need to make the purse bigger to get more people.
So it's a $15,500 purse. It pays all the way back to 20th place.
Yeah, what's first place get?
$5,000
to win. And so he wanted me to get that information out there. So if some of these guys are on the fence, I mean, I've never made money at a dirt bike race other than KTM cash. So if I got 19th, I'd be, what do we think? It'd be like $100?
$100.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Maybe more.
So
$1,500 for the women's purse.
Ooh, I like that.
First through third.
Okay.
And then Cody Webb's been on Extreme School on Monday, May 5th. It's $250. It's going to be 11 riders. I don't know if that's getting full. I'm sure it is getting full.
Yeah, we did one after TKO, and it's a good time. I mean, just to watch Cody play ride, it's worth hanging out.
And then there's also a Rachel Gutish Extreme School for the ladies, Monday, May 5th, $150, 11 riders.
Oh, wow.
So if you're a up-and-coming woman's rider, learn from Rachel because she is the woman – a Tough Like Roar.
She is.
Did I say that right?
The one.
She's the man. I don't know.
She's all of the above.
Right.
She does well there. How about
she
that?
She kicks ass.
Yeah. Oh, whip beep.
Sorry.
All right. What else we got?
That's it.
Okay, so that's the Tough Like Roar update. Signups Tuesday, May 4th, 8 p.m. Central, like Eastern time,
because
it is real time. Thank you. We're trying to get back to real time. And again, it does, the quicker you sign up,
get signed up,
the better starting position you'll have.
Don't be on the last row of your respective class, because that sucks.
Well, and it's good to know that for, like, for the Iowan Hard Enduro.
It is good to know.
Yeah, we didn't like know that it affected it. Of course, we were both kind of last minute sign up. So, but again, you will not be racing with the other classes mixed in. It will be just.
You don't have to worry about Colton Haker running you over.
He wouldn't do that, would he?
That's what I've heard.
Oh, man. I don't know. Everyone, when they put the helmet on,
that's right.
Things change.
I mean,
and you know, I don't want to say it, but those dudes are out there trying to make a living. Like, it's their job.
This is their job.
Yeah,
I get it. I'm getting out of their way when they're coming.
I mean, well, and that was what we were in, like, a gnarly section, and the guy on the trials bike, he was like pulled over and waiting, and I was going to keep going. I'm like, well, I'm not going to pass him. So we pulled over and waited. I think that's when
Tristan and Cody.
Yeah, it was Tristan, I believe, who came by. Yeah, because Cody had already come by us at that point. So
I got you.
But I think that's it. I mean,
yeah, and as always, people keep asking. They're like, "Hey, how can we help you out with a podcast?" The main thing you can do is go to your respective podcast service and give us a 5-star review if you like the podcast, and give us an actual, like, verbal, like, written review. Tell us why you like it, or tell the internet why you like it, because with the algorithms and all that stuff, it gets it moved up.
This
is what I've been told.
Okay.
I don't understand how it works, but please do it.
All right. So, can I give a bike update
real quick? Please do.
So, we got 2021 KTM 300. What? Oh, you got my phone?
Yeah.
I was like, what are you doing with my phone?
I was getting ready to end the podcast on Drew's phone, but it's recording on mine.
I got one all set up. It was going to be my practice bike. I got two of them.
Yep.
I could not be happier with it. From the day I got it, I was blown away.
Okay.
Well, so the other one's going to be the race bike. It took me a little longer to get it set up because we didn't have any races coming. I was like, I need some hours on this thing.
Yep.
So I rode it for like an hour.
Uh-oh.
I did like it. Like, really from zero to a quarter throttle, like doing trialsy stuff, it was just blurbery, and it was like the choke was half on a carb bike. And so I'm like, okay, maybe it needs to get broken in. So I rode it some more. Because when we got them, they had some race gas in it. I was like, maybe that's it.
So then you went to change the map, right?
Yeah, I thought maybe it needed the updated map. Well, it had the updated map. So, like, well, crap. So I'm having issues with one. And I've heard some are good, some are bad. And I'm afraid, I don't want to say I got a dud, but I need to figure out what it is. So if anyone out there has experienced this, you know any fixes. I'm like, I'm turning over
rocks.
I've talked to a lot of people. Let me talk about what I've done. I took the ECU off the practice bike, put it on the race bike. No difference. I've messed with the power valve. No difference.
You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, I know, but so some ex pro factory Husky mechanic told me to do it, so I listened. But I put it right back where it was.
With Heckler?
Yes. Yes. Extreme Heckler. I messed with the air screw. Didn't help. Somebody told me, so on the practice bike, I've actually put in an idle screw.
Your lights on?
I haven't done it. What?
Are your lights on?
Yeah, they're on.
Okay.
That's
just right. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll put it on night.
We're going through Peoria, Illinois,
over this really cool bridge.
Right.
So anyway, I'm looking for suggestions. I'm ready to. I want to like the bike. Like if I would have started out that bike as my practice bike, or that bike was the bike I started riding, I would not be a satisfied TPI owner. So again, for anyone out there, if you've made it this far, send me a message, us a message. Let me know what you got.
Be interesting to see if anybody's still listening.
Hopefully they are. Hopefully they're driving. Like I said, several people have told us, like, we try to get these up. I mean, obviously, they've got time that it helps them on the drive home. So,
yeah, it's only 8 o'clock, so hopefully some guys will get to listen to this tonight.
Yeah, well, it's 8 o'clock here. It's 9 o'clock in real time.
Well, it's 8 o'clock for most people that just left this race.
Yes, it is. So, Texas Roadhouse, that'd be good.
That would be good.
So, next up, possibly Last Dog Standing in 2 weeks, if that happens. It's on. After that, Mad Moose, Michigan. We're not going to either of those. We got a Sear race, the Night Squatch, May 15th.
Yep.
So we've got a couple of things coming up. So
Monster coming up.
River
too
Monster
far after
GPS.
That.
June.
So. 4th of July, Tough Like Roar is the next East race.
Yes. Looking forward to that one. Other than it being July 4th weekend, you won't be there. Kids got mountain bike downhill, Colorado.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey guys, thanks for listening, and.
Yeah.
We'll see you out there.
See you on the trail.